Amen. Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be reading just verses 40 to 45 in the first chapter. So you are welcome to read along in your Bible in the pews you have, your Bible in your pews if you'd like, or you can just listen to this word. It's a story of a healing. So let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. A leper came to Jesus begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Over the next few weeks, I would like to linger in Mark's gospel and take some time to reflect on the healing ministry of Jesus. We talk about Jesus as our teacher, as a prophet. We talk about Jesus as our liberator, as our savior, our companion, and Jesus is also our healer. How often do we meditate on this aspect of Jesus' ministry? Jesus as our healer. I have a lot of questions about healing, and I suspect maybe you do too. Like, why did Jesus do so much healing? Is Jesus' healing strictly about curing physical ailments? Or is it sometimes not at all about that, about other kinds of healing? Why is exorcism, throwing out demons, so often connected to healing in the gospel stories? What does prayer have to do with healing? And if we are disciples of Jesus the healer, how are you and I asked or tasked with healing ministry? What does that look like for us? I'm not going to address all these questions today, but I do hope that in the next few weeks, we can look at some of these questions. And actually, next Sunday, we're going to have a sermon discussion after church, so we'll have an opportunity to bring our questions and reflect on them together. So I hope you can join us next Sunday if you have questions around this. This past week, a friend shared with me a story about her mother who died some years ago. My friend was in her early adulthood when her mother passed away, and she died of cancer. What her mother said to her daughter before she died was this: "My dying is my healing." And my friend recalled that at the time, that statement really pissed her off. That didn't seem right at all, did it? And it was only over a period of time that my friend received this sharing from her mother as a powerful gift. Her mother saw the process of dying as an opportunity to draw closer to God. Healing for my friend's mother was about drawing closer to God, not about being cured from cancer. My friend told me that when they prayed for healing as a family, they consciously left the particularities of that healing open, because following her mother's lead, they found it was important that they could all begin to recognize that healing was about something different than just being cured from an illness. Now, there are times when we pray for healing as in curing someone, and I think that this kind of prayer is important. I believe we need to practice prayers of intercession, even if we're unsure about how it works. But I suppose my point with this story is of my friend's mother is that when we take the long view, the view that all of us are dying, that none of us are going to escape this life alive, right? Just this recognition of our mortality brings us to the place of asking, what does healing look like for us when it's not just about prolonging my life, but rather about a movement toward wholeness in some way? And this, I think, is what the healing ministry of Jesus is often about. It's about healing in these deep ways, individual, material, and also spiritual and social and political healing. And ultimately, we learn as we follow these stories that the healing ministry of Jesus is actually quite dangerous. In the end, it gets him killed because his healing ministry is threatening to the way things are, threatening to the powers of domination that are at work in society that keep people sick. And we see some of these threads in our story this morning. A man has leprosy. Leprosy was infectious. People who had this disease were social outcasts. They were forced to live alone. They were forced to live outside of the city, and they had to proclaim out loud when people walked by that they were unclean. Can you imagine? They were quite literally cast out of society. And furthermore, only a priest had the authority to preside over any kind of ritual cleansing for someone in this kind of situation. Jesus breaks all kinds of rules when he encounters this man. First of all, by assuming the authority of a priest in relating to him, he makes this man clean. And he is neither a priest nor is he in the temple. He is outside the city where outcasts are found. And furthermore, Jesus touches the man. This proximity, this touch, is breaking rules regarding social regulations and the correct order of things and hierarchy of things in society. You never get that close to an outcast. And even the man with leprosy knows this in his question. It's as if he's asking, if you're willing, if you dare, you can make me clean. No one before has dared with this man. Jesus does. We are told that Jesus, upon seeing this man and hearing him, is filled with compassion. Now, some translations, there are manuscripts, and if you see this, I actually don't know if it's in your Bible note in this NRSV, but in most NRSV translations, it says, some manuscripts read, Jesus was filled with anger. Upon seeing and hearing this man in this state, Jesus is filled with anger. Jesus is angry that this man has been denied access to health care, that he's essentially been given a death sentence by the whole political and religious system. He can't afford his premium. He has no access to the temple in terms of transportation. Who is going to help him get there? Who would dare help him? And in all of this, this person has also been denied access to God. The reigning theology of the time was that if you were unclean, it was related to your sin. In other words, you must have sinned pretty bad, or his parents did, to put him in this state. It was a theology that taught him that he deserves his sickness, that he deserves his poverty, that it's his fault, that is the hell that you deserve, all in the name of God. So this bad theology has effectively blocked this man's access to God. And what this story teaches us is that Jesus' healing ministry is rooted not just in compassion, although compassion and righteous anger tend to kiss each other, they are close. It's also rooted in a righteous anger at how sick our systems are, how sick our theology can be, how sick our institutions have become in their captivity to the powers of evil. Jesus is angry at how we create sickness and how we create disposable people. Healing in the case of this man was about many things. It was about giving him, literally, access to health care, restoring him to physical health with no burden of debt in terms of cost, and there was no high premium. Healing was also about giving him a new theology, essentially saying, you have access to God right here, outside the temple. God can reach you. God can touch you and heal you. Jesus, in his actions, is reminding this man that the God they worship is actually a God of liberation who cares for and hears the cries of the poor. And then there's the dangerous part. Healing for this man was about empowering him to go forth and bear witness to those right in the center of power. Notice that after Jesus heals this man, he tells him to go show the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded as a witness to them. We get it wrong when we think Jesus was just asked to go back to the temple and simply abide by the priestly ritual. No, Jesus was telling him, go back, show them that you're healed, and in effect, shame them for their neglect and disregard of people like him. Because the whole system, the temple system, much like, if I dare say, many mainstream churches in America today, have become captive to the powers of domination that oppress and exclude the poor and the marginalized. So part of the healing in this story is about how this man becomes empowered to go and bear witness against those in power and to proclaim this alternative way of God, the way of God's healing reign. The empowerment of this man is also part of Jesus' healing ministry. You see how healing, just in this one story, touches on the personal, the spiritual, the material, the political, and the systemic. So Jesus' healing ministry in our lives is also a ministry that runs deep and through all of these aspects of our lives, our personal lives, our spiritual and material and political and systemic lives, how we're related to the system. So what does it mean then for us to proclaim that Jesus is our healer? I think it means many things. It means that Jesus is concerned about our access to health care. And I'm not just trying to construct an image of Jesus that fits my political preference. This is not some made-up image of Jesus. Actually, I think the real problem is how we've made up an image of Jesus as some tranquil, apolitical healer. And that is just simply a lie. Acts of healing, according to the Gospels, are never not without political ramifications, either for Jesus or for the people who are experiencing healing. And we will continue to see this as we look at these stories. But to proclaim Jesus as our healer means that Jesus is concerned about people's access to health care. It can also mean healing in terms of our estrangement from God. What damaging theology do you need to be healed from? Because we all have a bit of bad religion to recover from. Jesus, with his healing ministry, offers you access to God. God is very close, so close you can experience her touch. And maybe some of us need to be healed from that rift in our relationship to God. Or perhaps some of us need healing from the rifts in our relationships with one another. Maybe healing for some of us is in our ability to receive the power and the authority that Jesus gives you to go out and bear witness against those who seek to kill and destroy. Maybe the healing ministry of Jesus is calling us to get out there to be a part of a movement to create universal access to healthcare. There's a thread to these healing stories in that those who experience healing have experienced empowerment. The people whom Jesus healed often had little power or were made to believe that they had little power. And so the healing ministry of Jesus was about empowering folks to claim that authority to do what God has called them to do. Because can it also be true that part of our illness, our sickness, is acting sort of ho-hum about what God calls us to do? Either because it feels too hard or because it's too costly, or we just don't really believe that we have any power to change anything, ourselves, let alone our systems. And so is healing about receiving that authority and power from Jesus? I think it is. What does it mean to proclaim Jesus as our healer? What is this healing about for us this morning? So I want to invite us, we'll continue to look at these questions as we go on through the next couple weeks, but I want to invite us now to take a moment to pray. Will you pray with me and let us call on Jesus, our healer? Let us pray. Jesus, you are our healer. You are full of compassion for us, and you are also full of anger at what we do to one another, the way we are complicit in causing illness and hurt to one another, in our systems and in our relationships. Forgive us. May we be filled with that same compassion and anger that you have to root out the illness that lurks in our hearts and in our systems. And now, O Jesus, our healer, in this quiet moment, allow us to have a sober mind and sober judgment to see the places in our lives where we need your healing, where we need your healing touch. Then, O God, empower us to get up and participate with you in your healing ministry. For you have called us into that ministry with you. Amen.